cliffcentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Right, good morning, folks. Monday morning again. Welcome to Auto Central, Motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. That's it. And same procedure as last week.
Same procedure as every week, Ty.
Exactly. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at Auto Trader SA, and remember to use the hashtag Auto Central in your tweets.
Isn't that irritating?
No, I actually quite like doing it, though.
I was trying to irritate you because I'm... Anyway, good morning, guys. I'll tell you why I keep doing the E and doing the whole irritation thing. Because I got so irritated this morning. And November 1 South, there's no accident. But there's traffic for days, bruh, like at snail's pace.
Yeah.
Because on the opposite direction, there's an accident.
So now
people slow down,
rubbernecking
to the right, like closer to the accident to see what it's like. And then in the end, they're all like this, looking backwards.
Humans are a weird bunch,
yes,
hey?
Yes.
We're a twisted bunch.
We want to see the blood and gore
in that, but then we get turned and revolted and, oh, I saw the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
How macabre do you have to be to want to see this sort of wanton destruction and then... But you
while slowing
don't...
everybody else down.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just...
And they move to the fast lane.
Curiosity.
Eh? Like, they all squish into the fast lane just to look at what's happening that side.
Get closer. Absolute nightmare. Almost causing accidents themselves because they're now so preoccupied with what's happening in the opposite, you know, side of the highway that they're not watching what they're doing. And they haven't noticed that... You know,
somebody stopped
in front of them. And how often does that happen? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Travel the roads, the byways and the highways, and you're going to see it. Accident on one side and then, accident on the other side because of the rubbernecking.
So,
guys, don't do it. Please come a little bit of respect for the people and let the medics and the police and whatever,
all
the recovery, let them do their job without hindrance.
Yeah, that emergency lane actually is for emergency vehicles as well. It's not another lane
only
on the highway for
and
you
buckets
that use it. And bikes, yes.
How many times? And bikes, you said?
Not for bikes. That's not an emergency lane. That's a suicide lane.
Hello, Ville Marie.
Hello, Ville Marie.
Hello, Ville.
I'm sorry. I kind of used it this morning, so... I did. And I also saw that whole chaotic thing that you were talking about.
Oh, jeez.
And how long has it been since your last confession?
Since the last time I was here.
Yeah.
It's pretty much every time I'm on the bike.
I love your honesty.
The transparent motoring show, ladies and gentlemen.
No, exactly. Well, listen, so I got in this morning. Chad walked in and he had this look of anger on his face. So I was like, how's your weekend, buddy? He goes, oh, no, it was fine. So I said, okay, cool. Like, and I kept quiet. And he just looked at me and he shook his head. I said, what? And he said, it's taken me 2 hours to do 12 kilometers.
20 Ks.
Oh, 20 Ks.
20 kilometers. It took me, I took a photo of it because I was just bamboozled by it. 20 kilometers took me 2 hours, 9 minutes at an average speed of 9 kilometers an hour. You do know that we walk at 8 kilometers an hour. Hey? Okay. 9 kilometers an hour using more than, because it could only read, more than 20 liters per 100.
Oh, my word.
What kind of it?
No, it's not in a thirsty car. It's not like the RS I had last week. I'm in the SLC 300, which, with some nice driving, returns mid-8s.
I hope for your sake it's auto.
It was auto,
yeah,
thank goodness,
otherwise
with aircon.
Your left foot, your gaiter would be bigger than the rugby players, bruh.
Yeah, I know. I'll run around in circles, yeah. But, no, it was...
jeez, man.
No, just despite that, it was just me getting out of the car, just completely flummoxed and bamboozled that... Fortunately, I preempted this, and I'd rather get here to the studio and everything nice and early because I understand that, you know, if I time it right, anything can happen. Yes, there's some traffic lights out on Rivonia and that, but no people. And there was nothing out of the ordinary. There weren't any accidents.
You were still here on time.
I was still on time, yeah.
You should advise the government officials on blue lights. They're always driving very fast, kicking everyone out of the way, but they're always
still
late.
You know what? Yeah. I'm not wound up. I was just flummoxed at the numbers that I was reading.
Yeah.
That's what was the
20 Ks, 2 hours.
I'm not stressed.
Bro.
I'm still having a lacquer Monday. because I left
in time.
Mm. So I wasn't in a rush either. So I could let people in and that. And what it does for your stress levels is amazing.
That's true.
Just leave a little earlier.
Yeah, exactly, because that's where all the stress comes from. Because you're panicking because you're going to be late and angry. And then this door's cut me off because I'm actually behind time. Yes.
This cardboard box.
Yeah.
Why do you get so much pleasure out of saying no?
I don't know, but I don't know.
And I mean, that 20Ks is usually a 10-minute drive, right?
Yeah, no, it could be a 20-minute drive. There's a lot of stop-starts.
20Ks.
20Ks.
20Ks, 20 minutes. You do back, 1 kilometer. What?
Back roads and stop-starts and traffic and 60Ks an hour. You know, I wasn't taking highway around. I was going through. So, realistically, that same journey, 20, 25 minutes.
Okay, I have to confess now.
Again!
It took Vilmarie 10 minutes to get you from Bronco Sprayed.
I wish. No, honestly, you know, as you take the slip off the N4 on your way to Menlyn,
yeah.
It was half past. I had half an hour. No, it was past. It was 25-2.
Okay.
I had 25 minutes to get you through Centurion.
We're just glad you got you at all.
Yes,
listen,
I was thinking.
I love you all over again.
I had two.
Yes,
you know those cold moments when you go. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I made it.
You had two of those.
I had two.
I think you're addicted to those.
And it makes me feel younger.
Ah.
You know what's
I'm
the
not
best
saying go
is
do
when
it.
You have one of those moments, and then all of a sudden it tastes like you've been licking coins, and you've got that metallic taste in your mouth.
It just tells how many chemicals we have in our bodies.
That is
amazing.
That is what adrenaline tastes like. That is your fight or flight. That is what adrenaline tastes like. You sit there and you've had a near miss, and all of a sudden it's like you've been sucking on rusty coins. You sit there,
your body wants more. Hey, it's amazing.
That's
can
addictive.
We do that again?
Adrenaline junkies. I mean, that's what they live on. Your extreme sports. I mean, that's why we race.
You mustn't say something to me because my brain. See, I'm an actor, so I think in pictures.
I'm listening.
Me too.
Oh, geez, you've got quite the pen face there for think. Look at me playing with my water. Anyway, so we're glad you're here.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about the picture.
You know when you walked in here and I said, "How are you?" You said,
"I can't remember."
She said, "I'm very hot." I'm like, of course I agree with you. But that's because she's wearing a winter jacket.
It is. And I had two cool moments.
For you
so
it
really
is, yes. For me it's
not
the jacket. It's got nothing to do with the jacket. Happy Monday morning.
You still like me even though I'm all flustered. No hairstyle.
That's exactly what I like. That's precisely pent.
Ladies and gentlemen, Auto Trader, you're not only going to find your next vehicle, you may find your next match.
Yeah, exactly. The perfect match. Fantastic. Talking about finding the perfect match, mm-hmm. And to get on to today's topic. I was looking at the mags on the family car that we own, and mm-hmm. I just thought I want to go through the process of just investigating.
You can't follow the mags now.
No, just what else could I put on
exploring
the car?
Options.
You know, just exploring options, trying to see what I think a nice set of wheels and rims can
shift over, make space here, make
set
space.
Apart.
You know, talking my language.
Here we go,
people.
So I've I'm going through the motion and. You know, Chad's the car guy. I'm just the layman out there, like majority of the people that are driving in their vehicles right now. What do you actually have to go through? It's not just rock up and, I like those ones. Because there's actually a lot of...
It pretty much is, actually.
No. But there's a lot of it. But the more research I've done, mm-hmm. there's actually a hell of a lot that you actually got to take into consideration.
Yeah, the size...
Tie the beauty of it. Let me just put it straight. I mean, this is where I come from.
Okay.
I started out actually earning money off of the motor industry through wheel and tire retail.
Okay.
So I started with it.
All right.
Then I spent the better part of my 20s working for a performance magazine as their technical editor. So this is right up. I know the ins and outs and being the technical editor,
He can shed some light on these.
I can shed some light.
So I know that if you want to increase the size of the diameter and the width of your wheel.
Of the wheel, yeah.
Yeah, this can obviously help with the appearance of your vehicle. Can make it
yes,
better.
Yes,
can balance. Can help you with performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it can obviously give your car a more aggressive look.
You're not wanting to change the height.
Yeah, you don't want to change the height.
But doesn't it change it, though?
Sometimes it does.
It's not supposed to change. If you're sitting there and you purchase a vehicle that is on 17-inch wheels, let's say, and back in the day it used to be 13 and 14-inch wheels when they were all steelies, but many of the cars come out now with 16 or 17-inch wheels. Let's say your car comes out with 17-inch wheels and you'd like to improve the appearance of it. Of course, what they call sizing up is going to an 18-inch wheel. But your tire, you now need less tire because you've got more wheel.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can't change the outer circumference of the wheel because that affects your gearing, which in turn affects your speedometer, which in turn affects your odometer. And fuel consumption and your performance, and it can negatively affect it.
Your steering as well?
Yeah, your steering as well. Your steering is a little more related to the width and the offset of the wheel, which we'll get into just now. I mean, those are also things that you're wanting to explore
width and offset. All of it, you know?
But what you're wanting to do is if you go up an inch in your size, mm-hmm. you need to go down on the what they call the profile. It's the aspect ratio of the tire. So you basically need a little less tire because the diumtrek, that circumference, needs to remain the same.
Do the guys understand that who should be selling that to you?
Because
I've seen two, for example, the Hyundai Tucson's next to each other, and I could clearly see the one being
upsized.
Yes, and when I looked at the tires, that's what I saw. Yeah.
Now, often what people would throw people off, you're allowed a 10% 12 millimeter variance in the sizes, and it's not going to throw it out by any large margin that's actually going to be noticeable. The reason for that is if you start with your tire that has 7 mils of tread on it and you wear it down to the tread wear indicators, you've lost how many millimeters of overall of diameter on that wheel? You can go down 12 millimeters. You've lost 6 on one side and 6 on the other side. So your wheel is now 12 millimeters smaller. So there is that variance allowed. Oh. And often when you're putting new wheels and tires on, the extra tread and all that sort of stuff looks considerably larger and the other wheel sitting the full distance down because they're on a level surface. So sometimes it can be thrown off, but yes, you will have to chat to the salesperson and they know what needs to be fitted. And they have to. They have to give you the right tires. Because, and this is very important, and if you are going out there and you are wanting to size up and fit aftermarket wheels and tires, do make sure that you are purchasing the tires that are recommended
by
the size.
By the manufacturer.
By the manufacturer, or not necessarily. Dealer, if you're sizing up, by the sales representative or your assistant, whoever's helping you with this purchase, because they do know. They're not just trying to sell you the most expensive tire. Yes, there may be a cheaper size because different sizes cost different amounts of money. But by fitting that different size, one, you could throw all that gearing out in that. And two, they are recommending a tire based on the speed and weight rating as well for your vehicle. If you've got the incorrect speed, weight rating or size tire on your vehicle,
or when lost,
not only that, your insurance may not pay out.
Oh yes, that's
what do you mean
the
speed,
other thing,
Chad?
There's a speed rating of a tire. A tire is rated to a certain speed.
It's the same on the bikes.
Same on the bikes. All tires are rated. Aeroplane tires even have speed ratings. There's a maximum speed that they can deal with.
Oh, I see. Like those little biscuits that I hate, the spare wheels that you can
only go to 80 km.
You can only go to 80 km. After that, the tire.
Mari biscuits.
I hate those.
They cannot guarantee the performance of that tire.
That little handle when you
so
can
your,
brake and
your
stuff.
Your W, your V, your Y, your Z rated tires all have nice proper high speeds. But if you fit one that is a speed higher than your car or like an upgrade,
you're better off.
But if you fit one that's lower,
then you're asking for
And I mean, insurance companies are very quick to repudiate claims based on your tires were down
are
to
the
tread wear.
Conditions that
exactly, you have to keep your car in proper condition.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that the wheels and tires that you fit are according to or higher than your manufacturer.
So generally, low profile is just bad news.
No, it's not. No, not necessarily bad news. There's many performance aspects to be
speed wise. It's not
generally lower performance
on good roads.
No, generally, lower profile tires will have a better speed rating.
Yeah.
They're more inclined to be performance tires.
Yes.
They may have a better tread pattern. Don't purchase tires based just solely on their looks. Try and see if you can find a bit of testing and comparison before. Call up the place and see what tires they have available. Do a little bit of internet research and see how they rank.
So then obviously the more expensive, the better it is.
Not always.
Really?
No, not always. Not always. No, in
like
the same
anything,
way.
A name can also add to the price.
Yeah, a name adds to the price. But with that name comes a lot of research and development.
Yeah.
Don't skimp on tires, folks. Just don't skimp on tires.
Because it's your
life,
Chad always says, you know, that's your contact
your
with the road.
Only contact with the road.
So,
and
you
especially
know,
now that we're getting our wet weather, you want to make sure that you've got good tires on. So, folks, check your tires. Check them for uneven wear. Check them for flat spots.
Yeah.
Flat spots, you should know. You'll feel it. But
what about the heat? I mean, what tires can handle the heat? Because this heat is unbearable. I mean, I figure this is rubber we're dealing with. So,
trust me, a tire will get very, very hot just from driving. The friction and a tire's got a little bit of give to it, okay? And with that little spongy and that flexing, it actually generates heat. Take a piece of plastic and bend it a couple of times in your hand, and you feel how hot it gets. Now, the same thing happens with the sidewall of your tires, and that's why it's very important to have a tire properly inflated, because otherwise that's what your sidewall's doing. Your sidewall's constantly doing that as you're driving, and that's heating up the sidewall, and that's going to cause a massive blowout. That's sure. why underinflated tires are so dangerous.
And hydrogen, oxygen instead of your normal...
Your nitrogen. Nitrogen.
Yeah.
A nitrogen
hydrogen. Hydrogen. Hydrogen.
No, no, no. You don't want hydrogen because hydrogen is like a Hindenburg, and that yeah. ends in tears. Yeah. Boom.
Things are going to blow up.
Yeah.
Chad, just quickly... Yeah. Also, just having a look at the stuff, staggering fitment. So you put bigger wheels at the back. But only if you've got a rear drive.
Yeah, a rear wheel drive. There's no point in doing it on a front wheel drive car. A rear wheel drive car, that's where your drive is coming from. When we say drive, that's where the power is going to. So that can improve your traction and can improve the vehicle stability. What you need to watch with is when you start going too wide on your wheels and you fit the wrong offset. Now, the offset is how far pronounced
out of the wheel
stands from the rest of the suspension in the vehicle. So many tires sit what they call inboard. So they sit inside the body and they're not sitting like flush with the bodywork or with the wheel arch. And many like the look of it sitting flush with it. You know, your guys that are in the aftermarket scene will call it stance or hella flush or correct fitment. And that's spacing it out, the wheel out, so that it fits nice and flush. It's
I've seen
all
some
good
of that
and well.
go protrude outside the body.
Now, that's the extremes, and you're not wanting that, actually. One, resistance, air resistance. It wrecks the aerodynamics of the vehicle.
More drag, yeah.
Yeah, there's more drag. It's going to affect your fuel consumption. Now, you're also trying to turn them, and this places undue strain on your wheel bearings and your ball joints and your CV joints and that because it is not what was designed for the vehicle. Mm. And here comes the sad bit, is that technically fitting aftermarket wheels and tires to your vehicle is illegal.
Sure.
Any.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, but define aftermarket.
Any. And this is now exactly where they go with that definition.
If it's not standard.
If it is not OEM fitment, original equipment manufacturer, fitment. For the vehicle, it's technically illegal. And it's illegal on the basis that the SABS hasn't tested those wheels
on that car. I see.
And
makes sense.
There was a massive one where they were clamping down on the street racing and they were targeting all the modified vehicles. Instead of targeting the street racing, they were targeting all the modified vehicles because majority of the street racers drove modified vehicles. So they were pulling cars over that had lowered suspensions and aftermarket wheels on the basis that it didn't conform to the SABS Act.
Jeez, but it makes a lot of
sense.
Yeah,
no, it was an absolute nightmare.
If a car is a 1.4 and you've turned it into a two liter, and you didn't upgrade the brakes, you've got these tires
exactly.
that are crazy.
That is unsafe. Yes.
Your braking discs are they're still standard. You're basically asking for trouble.
If you've fitted wheels and tires that are too big or incorrect for the vehicle, it can be a problem. You know, if you're sitting there and you've actually spaced it out, who says that you're using the proper high tensile bolts to bolt that on?
So even lowering suspension of cars can
actually yes, technically that's illegal.
Look, like anything, you always get someone also on the bike if they high twice. Challenged, they want to drop the suspension.
You mean if they're short?
Basically.
Jeez, okay.
I was just being nice.
To who?
To
who?
Not to you.
Have you not heard this show? Yeah. We're not nice.
I'm short of nothing, Marie.
Oh, hello.
I thought of a stupid thing. Like, if a car is lowered on these roads of ours, you see, have you seen how it bumps?
Yeah.
That eventually should give you back problems and.
But imagine what it's doing to the rest of the components on the car.
Yes.
And the handling. On the one thing, and this is on a bike, it's a big thing. It changes the dynamics and the turning of the bike immensely.
Yeah.
It's a big no-no to change that.
So it's illegal as well.
No, you can do it. I'm saying don't.
Mm.
It's ill-advised to go to the extremes. I'm all for modifying a car. I'm building cars. I've only got modified cars because I love them. But...
Everything must match.
Yeah,
everything,
you've got to do your homework,
everything within reason and done safely.
Yeah.
So when you lower the car too much, you start limiting the range of movement of the shock absorber. Now, a shock absorber is a rod in a tube, and it's usually going to sit sort of midway, and it can move down and it can move up.
Yeah.
But if you've lowered it now, it's sitting almost at the top already.
Yes.
So it's going to knock if you're not fitting. A special shock absorber that is made for a lowered vehicle. Your wheels and tires, keep it within those rolling resistances. Keep the width and the offset respectable. But going around to one of your wheel and tire fitment places, is a fantastic idea because you can chat to the people there and they can make suggestions and recommendations, not only of what will fit on your vehicle, because not all wheels are created equal, not all tires are created equal, and not all vehicles take the same sort of wheels.
Well, just having a look at the manufacturing techniques that they use when they make the rims.
Fascinating.
You know?
It's absolutely
really,
fascinating.
Like you get one piece, you get forged wheels, there's multi-piece wheels.
Multi-piece,
and these all make
what's multi-piece wheels?
So just quickly, and I mean, I'm not too clued up on this, so Chad will probably have to elaborate, but one piece is they pour a piece of molten aluminium into a mold.
Aluminium and alloy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then forged wheels is forcing a single piece of aluminium to, you know, into place. So it's forged in, it's not poured. And then you obviously get multi-piece wheels where they put the rims and the center of the
multi-piece wheel, you can get a two-piece or a three-piece wheel. And generally it'll be the spoke, the bolt face, where the bolts go through and it actually attaches to your car, and the spokes, and then the barrel, the drum piece, is actually in two halves, and that sort of all sandwiches everything together with the spokes in the center, and that creates your multi-piece. And it's usually the ones that have got those nice, your BBS-style wheels, and that usually have those rivets in around the edges. That's, and all of those that have those rivets are made to look like multi-piece wheels. Yeah. It's a very expensive wheel because naturally they now need to form either sides of the drum. They need to form the spokes and their bolt face. And I mean, you can go one further. There's another one known as bullet wheels.
Oh, okay.
Now, bullet wheels is when they'll take a solid ingot of aluminium or, and in the days it used to be magnesium. Now, anybody that knows anything about magnesium in a fire will understand why that's a bad idea.
Yes. Yeah,
but magnesium is silly, silly light.
Why? What will
fantastic.
Happen?
The fire.
Magnesium basically explodes.
Fire. Oh.
Magnesium is a metal that is very, very. And but they used to use them for racing. And we're talking about now 50s and 60s, racing wheels were made of magnesium. And that's where mag wheel comes from.
Oh, the word mag
is from magnesium.
Jeez, you learned something.
Why did you think it was called a mag?
What's your name again, Chad? Yeah, man. Mag. Okay.
Comes from magnesium wheels, which were used
on
race cars.
So we shouldn't call them mags anymore?
No, they're technically alloys.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yes.
It's an alloy. It's a mixture of nickel, copper, aluminium, brass, all of this, because aluminium itself is pretty soft. But the guys will, a bullet wheel takes a solid piece and then they machine the wheel out. So they use a CNC machine, which is a cutting machine.
Like a laser cutting.
Laser cutting, but it will use actual mechanical tools and tungsten tip tools and diamond tip tools and that to cut out the wheel from a solid piece. So there's no pouring and casting and there's no chance of bubbles in the metal or weak spots. It's a very strong, very rigid, but expect to pay top dollar. Yeah.
Hey, look, I mean, that's
last number
wheels. So on that point, like, you know, how would you ever have thought that choosing a different set of wheels for your car could be so, you know,
complicated?
Well, not so complicated, but just there's a lot more thinking to it. It's not just rocking up and going, oh, I like those because they look cool. Can you stick
what
it on
do
my
you
car?
Like? Like, what if you had to buy new sets of alloys, what would you like?
I don't know. I think like a wheel with a lot of spokes.
Okay.
Have you owned a wheel with a lot of spokes?
No.
Okay, that's why.
Really.
Have you ever tried to clean that?
Yeah, I was supposed to say cleaning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I assume for aerodynamics and what do you call it? Air
wind resistance.
I think maybe the flatter, the more like a plate kind
of. Yes and no. If you take a look at the old endurance races, they used to actually fit. Audi used to fit. BBS had what they called the turbo fan, which was actually a disc that went over the wheel. Now that's kind of nice, but you're losing out on brake cooling. And that's one of the performance advantages that you can have from an aftermarket alloy wheel. If there's a little more space, your brakes can run a lot cooler, which can prolong the life of your brakes and can assist
help
with your braking performance.
Yeah.
Yes. So there are benefits to fitting aftermarket wheels as well. But you do need to spend decent money. Replica wheels are not ideal.
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
Generally, you're going to look for a wheel that has a JWL or a TUV stamp on it somewhere at least. JWL is your Japanese Light Wheel Association, which is basically
TUV
like...
TUV, you fark.
Basically, JWL and TUV is the Japanese and the German version of your SABS.
Okay.
So it's your standards. So it means that wheel has been tested to certain standards to take impacts and the likes.
Yeah.
So you want to take a look for those sort of wheels because the last thing you want is a wheel actually disintegrating on you because it is cheaply made or just looks good.
Yeah.
Be a little sensible and speak to your assistants at your wheel and tire fitment places. Yes, sometimes it's nice to order online, but do a little bit of research if you are going to order online. Yeah, okay,
exactly. Cool.
And also, sorry, Megs, the metal part that protrudes outside the tire.
Yeah.
I mean, I see no point for that because, I mean, you scrub against pavements and yada yada. You don't have the rim protect.
The thing is, it takes a lot more care. A set of alloy wheels is a responsibility if you want to keep them looking tidy and respectable. Yeah. You need to park a little further away from pavements. You do need to look after them. You do need to treat them. Otherwise, yes, the paint's going
to
come off.
Yeah, and you need to choose who you go to change tires.
Yeah, as well.
Yes. I have seen guys damage
wheels.
Beautiful wheels.
Oh, yeah, because of the whole...
With the spanners, with the wheels and the
problems. Hey, down in Lokshin there, they knock them with a 5 pounds, Baba.
Yeah, now imagine one mishit and he's into your wheel and he's dented it. I mean, don't go too low on the profile of the tire. So if you are going to size
it, looks nice though.
It does look nice, but it is going to compromise your ride.
It's a harder ride,
and you need to understand that if you are going to fit larger wheels and tires, the ride is going to be considerably stiffer and factor in long term.
Yes.
Just because you can afford the tires now doesn't mean you can afford them down the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep that in mind. It may be nice going to these massive 19 or 20 inch wheels, but
20
stick
is horrible.
Exactly,
expensive.
Very expensive and very difficult to live with, because you do need to be considerably more aware of where you're driving. You can't now just blast through a pothole and it's not going to cause damage.
And our roads are so dirty.
And especially with the rain and that. So just use a little bit of common sense, use a modicum of common sense and speak to people. Or shoot us a question. We've got Ask Auto Trader. Yes. And if you're wanting to find out things, go on to Ask Auto Trader. And we'll gladly there. But myself, I answer some of the questions. We've got a team of experts that can help you answer these questions. autotrader.co.za/AskAutoTrader.
So you must consider cooling tire width and potholes.
There's a lot of that. But now your assistant will do a lot of that consideration and all the maths and that, and give you the best recommendation. That's why I say, if you're unsure of it yourself, speak to someone that knows.
Smart, really. Just take a good 10K and then you'll come out with a nice set of mags and tires.
A good set of quality wheels and tires should cost you about 15. No less than 15. Because you want to fit decent tires. Yes, you can get entry-level tires. It really isn't bad money, no.
You know what bike wheels rims can cost? 40 carbon wheels, for example. Let's say with the Ducati, start under 40 grand.
Yeah,
two, not four.
I'm going with general consumer. I mean, we're talking about your A lines, your Ts, Ws, and the lines.
For two wheels.
Yes.
Tires and the.
No, I don't even think that's with the tires.
That's 3 grand a pop there. What? Minimum.
What?
Tires, bike tires.
Yes.
Bike tires are stupid expensive, my friend.
Because now you only have two to keep you up.
Pay double.
No, I mean, you can get pricey tires. I mean, if you pricey wheels. If you want to go with high-end wheels, 80,000-90,000 rand for a set of wheels. You know, then you're talking about forged wheels, you know, and it's the manufacture process. But then you know it's super strong, and these are high-end wheels, and the stuff that they're fitting to Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and the likes. You know, your ADVs and the likes can... 80,000-90,000 over 100,000 rand for a set of wheels comfortably, but the general consumer that's looking to fit a set of 17 possibly 18 inch wheels and tires, 15,000 rand is going to put respectable tires on your car, not the most expensive but also not the cheapest, something that is decent with a decent size and your fitment and your balancing and everything. And we're talking about going to places like your Auto Quips and your Tiger Wheel and Tire,
reputable companies,
your Dunlop accredited dealers, you know, HiQ's. Those places, they're in business and they've been in business for a while because they know what they're talking about.
And it's actually quite a pleasant experience.
Mine wasn't.
Yours wasn't.
No, don't talk about HiQ with me. Because I got very hard.
I've only ever had good service at those.
Which one did you say?
HiQ in Auckland Park. I'm very hard
for
those people.
Mine was Auto Quip.
They were to change my shocks and they messed up my steering rack.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You got to be really good to do that.
Yeah. No, you mean very bad.
Yes.
It's like a special kind of...
Good at being bad.
Yeah.
Special kind of good.
Back to the bike tires. I've seen most super bike tires almost have no tread. Like, no.
Yes. They don't. Slicks don't. So it's called a slick. So it's a softer compound and it's designed to heat up within a lap, maybe less. Generally, it should be hot once the tire warmer's on. So the moment you go out the pits, it's got traction. So the.
But now for a normal day-to-day use of a superbike with no treads.
Like, no, that's not good. No.
It's not safe. It's fine on the dry road, but as soon as a little bit of moisture or a little bit of contaminant on the road, yeah, you want to be somewhere else.
Look, the tread is there to help get rid of things. You know what I mean? And if you don't have that on our public roads, you can be in trouble.
So guys, listen, we're going to unpack that now because when we come back, Vilmarie's going to... you were at the launch of the BMW R9T Scrambler, is that right? And
officially jealous.
Look at how she comes in.
So anyway, listen, we're going to go to a quick break. There's a little bit of a tune and then we'll come back and do our thing.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize ride,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next.
Right, we're back here. A little bit of Jack Johnson in the house. I absolutely love that, Oak. He is just such a soulful singer. Perlis has come in. Have I done something wrong?
Soulful sing. But Vilmarie says there's a portion there that sounded like
Jack Johnson doesn't say end of story, end of argument.
No, but I said,
will be entered into.
Yeah.
Jeez, bro.
Now I'm going to go scream up.
Okay. Yes, I get it.
You got it.
Okay. Anyway, we were saying.
Anyway, yeah. So we're talking now. Vilmarie, you at the launch of the BMW R9T Scrambler.
Yes.
Had a look at the images and stuff that you've sent through, and we'll probably have an article going up on site, but there will be stuff going on to the social media pages. But tell us a little bit about the launch, how it all went down.
Well, the launch for me was a bit of a rush because I had to get there and back, and then in the morning when I got to the airport.
It's a BMW launch, that's par for the course.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know, hey.
I don't think I've ever been on a BMW launch that hasn't been rushed in some way or form.
But you know what, normally, but they look after us.
I mean, they
really know how to spoil you, food-wise, everything. But the problem was the flight was cancelled in the morning. Yeah, SA. And so two of us, I mean, when we got there, we had to play catch up. So half of the journalists already left, and myself and Gavin, another journalist, we had two guys waiting for us at BM in Cape Town, and then we just went flat out from there. So it was like, this is the bike. We'll explain just now. Just come. And I mean, I've never been on the Scrambler. So the first thing I noticed was knobblies. No, it's not the height that's the thing. When you look at the tires, it looks fantastic because you think, oh, this is great.
Looks great, but
get on it, and it's a whole nother handling thing.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's like a bumpy ride, or
no, not at all. It's actually
has it
great.
Just been that long since you've ridden something with that sort of tire on it?
That too. You know, look, it took a few k's in that to get used to. Not the riding in a straight road; it's turning because it's like, you know, when
you
a car
you don't have the same sort of traction around a corner.
It oversteers. Not even traction. It just turns. You have to like, not that much, you know, pull it back a little bit. So that was a bit of giving.
Are you putting that down to the tires though?
Yeah, definitely. It's only tires.
Not just let's say the rake and the wheelbase.
Well, let me put it this way. Gavin, who was with me, he's got a R90 Scrambler, but with road tires. And and he said to me, oh my word, world of difference.
Is it totally
total
difference?
Just with the tires.
But I mean, it's a Scrambler.
Yeah, well, I asked him, when are we going to the dirt?
Because I was about to say, I mean, how do you start talking about it on the road when it's a Scrambler? You should actually
take it a bit off.
Yeah, then you'll know why.
That's the only thing that they didn't get to fit into to the 2 days. Look, I came back the same night. I had to. But the guy stayed over and had a jewel. I missed out on a nice Kayad apparently and the next morning. But I do think we should have had a little bit of off-road. Yeah. But for BM, they explained to me that it's more about the image than what it is necessarily for the bike to go off-road. You know what I mean? Because I mean, you would know with your favorite, the Thruxton as well.
Yes.
Cafe racer type of, you know, it's got a nice look, special look. You're only going to ride at certain places and certain people and enjoy it.
How many superbike riders put their bike on the track?
It's
exactly
Jeez,
that.
Hey, actually.
It's exactly
if you think about it, it really is. They've got a very classy type of which they are in general, you know, feel to it. The bike looks fantastic. It really handles well.
And bolted together properly. I mean, we expect that from BMW and BMW bikes as well. So, I mean, nice and sturdy, not feeling as flimsy and as lightweight as what a typical scrambler named bike would feel.
And actually, quite when I looked at it, I thought, now, is this thing going to excite me? Because I was
just
like,
by looking
at it.
Yes.
No, Bulmery's not one for off-roads. I mean, we know this all the way down.
Or even naked looking generally bikes.
I mean, you're a sport bike person through and through.
Yes.
So this is a little out of your comfort zone. You know, you're not one for the cruisers and you're not one for the...
I'm built like a sports bike. No, I like
Lovely. Lots of fairings.
So in all honesty, let's get back to the scrambler. It did excite me because it responds when you open the throttle. Mm. It really does. It stops when you need it to. It handles. When I started getting used to the roads, look, I don't know the roads in Cape Town, so then I'll be cautious. Yeah. With the other guys, they knew it, so it was nice to kind of stay with them. But when you can't see which way it's going to exit, you know, you hold it back.
That actually makes a massive difference, though. And I found that when you know the road that you're driving on, you kind of feel,
you're more at ease because you know what's coming.
Yes.
There's actually less that you need to compute. So you sort of know which lane up ahead is going to be the turning lane and which lane you need to be in and how the traffic light or the intersection up ahead functions. But when you haven't been there before, it's a new bike, there's a lot to
consider. You know, and this is what I mean, I'm actually quite a cautious rider in spite of what I said earlier, you know.
Because I got you in 10 minutes from Houston.
No, but if she wasn't cautious, she wouldn't be here.
I'm responsible. I'm responsible because if it's not my bike and I don't know the roads, then there's a lot that I'll just, you know, take it easy and I'll take my time to get used to it.
Yeah.
But it was great. I have nothing bad to say about it other than I couldn't see the time.
Yeah.
You know, the little things. But they are minimizing. Which is their style. You know, it's minimal.
They're stripping back a lot of that kind of stuff,
correct,
aren't they? On those kind of bikes.
Yes.
So you're not getting as much.
Look, I have to say this, which is a key thing about the Scrambler, is it's the boxer engine.
Okay.
Now, anyone who loves the boxer engine would absolutely fall in love with this bike. It's kind of weird. I don't know how to explain this. You sit on it, you rev it, and it's like it picks up. Literally, the bike chain picks up. Hmm.
It almost balances itself.
Yes. It's like it's slightly unbalanced, and you rev it, and it
straightens up.
And it sort of straightens up.
So, but you gotta ride it to understand it.
Yes.
It's something completely different.
But that's where modern bikes are going, because we unpacked that in that tech segment once, where they were looking at that self-balancing bike. And
correct.
I know that if you're just looking at articles and reading, like,
but what do you call that,
those gyros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost a gyroscopic effect that happens there. And it's a little ironic because the boxer motor
is very old.
Very old technology.
Yes.
And BMW's actually started moving away from the boxer motor because of just...
I think their fans it's too big.
Yeah.
You can't move away from the boxer engine because, you know, like Matt and them as well, this is one of their favorite bikes from the bike show.
Yeah.
And I understand why. Besides that, you know, I used to... Well, I didn't race the boxer engine, but there used to be a boxer cup series.
Yeah,
and
series.
The guys loved it. You wouldn't think, because you have these big engines, you know, standing out the sides, and they can lean those things.
Yeah.
But when you open it, it responds, it lifts.
And you sort of understand that coming out of a corner, applying throttle and accelerating out of a corner helps you
pick it up. Mm. Yeah, it's
so
like the
you're
weight
more inclined
of
to lie it down because, you know, it's fine. I'm going to get it back up again.
Yeah.
And this is the width. This is part of getting used to it with these knobbly tires. Mm. And, you know, so it was actually fantastic.
Listen, is this a Monday to Friday kind of bike, or is this a weekend bike? Because I'm just having a look at a lot of images on this on the net now, and a lot of them are shot. I mean, there's one or two on tar roads, and the rest is all like dust and dirt. And I'm sitting here going, well,
where is it meant to
be? Where am I going to ride this thing? Like, if I go and buy the Scrambler, like, cool.
Parkhurst.
Where the dirt road is, dirt
road. No, Parkhurst.
No, you know
with
what?
A man bun.
Oh, the man
and a
bun.
MacBook.
Okay, yes, yeah. But then you have to grow a big beard.
A big beard, man bun.
Hey, don't joke. We had a few journalists
bike.
Some
hipsters. So like a hipster kind
hipster,
of cafe
trendy,
racer, trendy.
Yes.
But at the minute I heard Scrambler, I'm thinking
dirt.
I know, but that kind of changes actually the name. I don't know. It doesn't... I don't think it goes 100% with what's
with
meant.
What it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there.
It's a bit of the look on the shock side and a bit of the tires and that. Yeah, that puts it in a more scrambler look. But the rest of it, for me, it's a week and a weekend bike. Tyron, it's so user friendly.
Yeah.
That you could use it all the time.
I'm sorry, with road tires on, it looks terrible.
It does, eh? It almost
it takes
looks
away from that.
Yeah, you need the knobblies on it.
You need those knobblies on it. You really do need. Yeah. And it's not knobblies as if, I mean, if you guys are out there riding KTMs and Husqvarnas and
It's not those kind of knobblies.
It's more your more aggressive, I don't want to say dune riding.
Should we name it? It's a Parkhurst knobbly.
It's an all-terrain tyre.
Yeah. It's for those big curbs.
It's an all-terrain tyre, more than a dirt tyre or a road tyre. It's an all-terrain. And it looks so much better. As soon as you put road tyres on it, it just
looks like a little 125 or something.
Yeah, it neuters it. It really, no. You got to have it. You got to go the whole hog and you got to just live
with
the tires.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm totally loving the look of the bike. And then you just look at the images and the guy with his, you know, the helmet and goggles, not a visor.
Exactly.
That's kind of brown leather jacket. He's got black jeans on. I wouldn't put riding boots on. I'd rather have a pair of cons, but that's just my vibe.
Somebody safety doesn't like their feet or their ankles.
Converse, brother.
Yeah.
When you make contact with town, those things, chief.
Ankle is something you should look after. It's especially on bikes. But you know what? Yeah. The guys overall, everyone had smiles on their faces. Nice. They loved it. They thoroughly enjoyed the bikes.
No major crit.
No, not that I picked up at all, but please bear in mind, I didn't stay the whole length, okay? So generally at the dinner that night when there's a few glasses of something, you know.
Then somebody will say something.
Then it comes out. One thing I did notice while riding, so I was like, you know, looking around a little bit, and I saw on the tank, which is quite unique, I think, to it. I don't know a lot of tanks like that. It's got a welding design, or I don't know.
Or you can actually see the weld.
Proper, the whole tank from bottom to
like
the top,
like an exposed weld.
Yes.
And obviously machine welded.
It's part of the design. Yeah. Clearly, I don't know if it serves any other purpose other than design.
No, but I mean, if you watch any of those customization programs that you know, whether it's Fast and Loud or anything like that, a Gas Monkey Garage, all those kind of things. Like welding is an art. I mean, I've never held a welder, but I can only imagine
it can be disastrous.
It can be. I mean, you could really cock it up, and there is a skill behind it.
So absolutely, and there is something very attractive about a well-executed weld
that just shows
that you know, you've brought two pieces of metal together to create something, and
it looks good.
You joined it.
Doesn't look like you used tape.
It's like knitting metal.
As a whole, this has a very straight off the showroom floor, it has a very customized look to it. Mm. And if you follow accounts like Bike Exif and Pipe Burn and that sort of stuff, where the guys are taking the older bikes and they're doing their resto mods and they're going out there and they're creating, whether it's a cafe racer or a cafe scrambler, something of the sort, this rolls off the floor looking like one of those. So it's got
all the modern tech.
Aluminium. But are you, if you're online, go have a look at the accessories, because I was super impressed with that. Because yes, you're saying off the floor already looks good.
Yeah.
You can even do more.
Really?
Sure. So you can do your carbon mud guards.
Typical of BMW though, with accessories.
Yeah, it's very BMW thing, yeah.
I saw beautiful carbon mud guards. I saw, obviously, if you do want to do a bit of touring, you get your back thingy for your luggage.
Yeah, box and panniers.
What was there? Stuff for the tanks as well that you can put you in the front, because it is quite a big tank.
Yeah.
You know, so generally you want to quickly put your cards.
So they haven't necessarily said that it is an urban bike, but they are alluding to the fact that they do want it to be a regular use bike and not just a casual use.
And it is comfortable enough for that, because we did a lot of Ks while being there in Cape Town, and I didn't. My bum was fine.
Okay.
Which is normally my telltale. Mm. You know what I mean?
Is it?
Yeah, because you spend time on it, and people sometimes do 400 to 1,000 Ks for some silly reason on a bike a day or within a weekend.
Or they're on a bike because they've got to do those sort of kilometers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then you got to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, no complaints with that.
So, all in all, a good experience, a good bike.
Great.
Well, out of 10, what do you give it?
Considering that it's not my style, I would give it 7.5.
Out of 10. That's good.
No, that's
yeah. For somebody who's
pushing to an
8,
queen. Yeah.
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 Fantastic.
No major shortcomings.
I couldn't find anything fault.
Just
hey,
briefly,
said
we haven't mentioned price here. What are we looking at for an R90 scrambler?
Oh, you just now threw me off there. Because I actually looked at three different ones this weekend while writing
about
them.
Yeah, just quite curious as to what
sort of ballpark. Just give us a ballpark.
You put me on the spot.
Are we looking at the 120s, the 130s?
Give me a second, I'll give it to you now.
Okay, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Gents, as we do in the show, hold your breath.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Fantastic. Right, into the tech segment, just like that. Yeah, we're getting really good. It's becoming part of the show.
It's actually getting easier to hold my breath.
But you only said gents.
Oh, well, but you were one of the guys, man. Come on.
Hey, so just quickly, faster than
in the tech segment, so there's one thing, and I saw this online, and I was absolutely blown away. And again, it goes back to BMW, so it ties into the whole, the bike review that Vilmarie's just done. But how's this, okay? It's called the BMW mirror. BMW's vision of a connected future now extends to the household mirror, albeit a particularly trick Samsung mirror, right? The idea is that you check your while you're checking your hair, some of us don't have, but anyway, let's just say, so you're standing in front of the mirror, okay, and what it does, it pulls all the information from all your connected devices, everything from your electric R3 state, the charge of that vehicle, to the traffic on your morning commute. It looks at the meetings that you've got in your daily schedule, and then there's a camera positioned in the ceiling that reads your gestures. So it's a little like the latest BMW 7 Series, and it lets you scroll information. Mm. So you're doing your it's pulling out all this information. So, and then in the mirror's
sign language, bro.
The mirror's frame also incorporated the car key holder, right? So you put your key in this holder of the mirror, all right? And what it will do is it will park your vehicle, because it now knows that you're at home. And then in the morning, when you wake up and you're ready to go, you take your car keys out like you would. And by the time you get out your front door,
the car's
waiting for you in the driveway.
Now, okay, we have to.
That is cracking. That is great. I mean, we're not going to drag this out too long.
No.
But I love the way that BMW and Mercedes-Benz and that are really leading the way in terms of not only tech in the cars, but we were talking about it, and Tips, we were saying Internet of Things.
Yes.
And this is now alluding more to Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Now, what if that mirror was on the front of your fridge?
Yeah, as well.
On the front of your fridge. So now it's not only a mirror, it's a fridge. Mm. It's your diary. Mm. It is your weather station, and your car keys are right there in the kitchen by the, you know, by the rest of your things. It's going to take a little while before they can sort of pass off and legislate all the self-parking without you being in the vicinity.
Yes.
Sorry, I know that there was so many hoops that they had to jump through. They just recently released the self-park option, or not self-park, but the remote park option for the BMW 7 Series now in July. The reason why it was delayed from the January launch of the car was because of all the legislation that they had to check. All the different markets, left-hand drive, right-hand drive, X, Y, and Z, all test all sort of eventualities before it can get signed off because there is no driver behind the wheel.
Sure.
So that is probably going to be the most painful part of BMW implementing the connected mirror, is that they would have to jump through all of these hoops so that you're not within 5 meters of your car, you're not even in the same room, and your car is moving. Because just think about it. Pets, pedestrians, young kids, and that sort of stuff.
It's
and
kids.
Hear your cars. Yeah, kids. I mean, kids aren't sitting there, and all of a sudden this car starts up and goes. Heck, even a fully grown adult isn't expecting that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
I know we're not talking about big distances. We're talking about 10,
so
15 meters here.
So what is the purpose
here
of this? Really?
Convenience.
Ease of convenience. It's
spending money.
Streamlining things.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I can see it growing to the place where that is connected to
it's convenience,
naturally though. First thing, your infotainment system of your car, but connected to your media system at home, which is connected to your cell phone. So you get that meeting request on your email, which would ordinarily go to your PC or whatever. It's coming through to your phone, but it's on your car now as well, and
it's on your mirror.
Okay, so that when you wake up tomorrow, there's that meeting.
Yeah.
You didn't have to manually put it in. Everything is just connected.
So everything is just served to you. So like you actually switch your brain off.
No, but no, that's the thing. I don't think you can.
No, but you won't though.
No, you can. You can. I mean, I've been saying this for a while, in that all this convenience is making us complacent.
Yeah. Look, I just want to be able to switch off and just let be.
Oh, no, listen.
You know what I mean?
You can always unplug. You can always unplug it. I mean, they did a figurative sense. But when it
follows me to my mirror, well, that's the thing with technology. You can. You can switch it off.
Switch it off.
Yeah. But see, then it's just a mirror. It gets so convenient and so in...
The problem is, and I mean, yes, we could wax lyrical on this until the cows come home about it making us complacent. It's also ruining family relationships and that sort of thing because it's hurting the way that we communicate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are no longer communicating. And
technology
is hurting the way that we communicate.
Yeah.
And our communication is just really limited to electronic interaction.
Yeah.
And that is terribly, terribly sad. So, folks, when you get home today, this is my bit. Last week I was telling you, listen, it can
wait. Put your phones away.
With your phone.
Yeah, it can
wait.
I actually applied that. Hey? I was guilty myself.
Like, I reminded myself. Just those
keywords.
No,
I had to. It can wait. Yeah, exactly.
It can wait. And it was right. It could wait. And it did wait. But tonight, go home. I know how important it is. Go home. Unplug.
Just try.
Put the stuff down. Unplug the TV, go and spend time with the kids, spend time with the...
I rock it unplugging. I can
rock it unplugging, yeah.
Off for
when
like
you get home,
week.
Give your family the attention. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, cool, guys. Well, on that note, listen, I wanted to try and touch on it a bit today, but maybe it's some food for thought for next week is... Virtual showrooms and buying cars in the future.
Yeah.
How is our car shopping journey? And I think we'll unpack that in the first segment next week.
We're going to chat to George about that. He's very clued up on that. 100%. And he's got his finger on it.
Yep.
But certainly something that we need to dedicate a lot of time to. The whole model's changing.
Yep.
Last bit, Vilmarie, how much?
It's changing my rating.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like,
yeah, the one we tested,
R90
Scrambler.
Even Tar's breaking out into a sweat.
Yeah, actually, I'm sweating.
He's growing hair.
193,000.
Do you know what? I'd rather buy a 20,000 rand old bike, spend another 20,000 rand fixing it up, and
work on your numbers there, because you're going to buy a 20,000 rand bike and spend about 50,000 rand on it. I know.
Still cheaper than that.
It includes some aluminium tank, heated grips, LED turn indicators, off-road tires, ASC, and then cross spoke wheels.
It's a BMW and BMW.
And then
brand.
Hopefully the engine. No, it does. The engine.
All right.
Cool, guys. Fantastic. Well, listen, like we said, it can wait. Stay off your cell phones. Don't use them when you're driving. It's been a fantastic show, Vilmarie. Thanks very much for coming through. T, have a good week. Chad.
Magic.
Lekker. Awesome, guys. And keep it steady on the roads. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. CliffCentral.com.